set me free. Jesus' mission was to comfort those who mourn, bind up the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to captives, and open prison doors for those who are bound. For those who want more than status quo Christianity has to offer, Blazing Grace Radio begins now. And here is your host, Mike Janung.
Hey, Mike Janung here, and welcome back to Blazing Grace Radio. Thank you for joining us on this battlefield we call life these days. And if you're wondering who Blazing Grace is, we are an international ministry to persons who struggle with porn addiction, sex addiction, adultery, anything in that sexual arena. We offer groups by Zoom and in person in our office in Colorado Springs. Counseling, we have a 6-part video series that was recorded near London not too long ago. We have focus on ministry on men and wives. Both sides are critical, because if the wife doesn't heal, the marriage can still be lost. And I say we're an international ministry because we have partners in Austria who publish my books in German and sell them there in the German-speaking countries. We just set up Blazing Grace Finland with a couple there, and we've also partnered up with a guy or a ministry in Italy who is publishing my books in Italian. So these issues, these struggles with porn addiction are worldwide. This is not a U.S. only thing, even though the U.S. is the number one consumer and producer of pornography in the world. We do counseling in groups with people from all over the globe, UK, Europe, Canada, North America, South America, Asia. Anywhere you have a smartphone, you have, unfortunately, the temptations that come along with addiction to pornography. So I have had, for the last 4.5 years, long COVID. And for me, those symptoms include at times difficulty breathing, the crashes and the fatigue, especially after a workout. If I exercise, I'll have to pay a price. And maybe another 12 hours later, the crash begins. They call it post-exertion malaise. And the brain fog comes along with that. Sometimes there's unexplained body aches or chest pains. So I've had this for close to the last 4.5 years, and we go through a lot of spiritual warfare in a ministry like this, because the enemy does not want us talking about the issues that many people in the church especially are in bondage to. We talk a lot about spiritual warfare in this program. We talk about sexual issues, pornography, masturbation, adultery, all the things that God's people are struggling with. We will be talking about the occult later on, and how it's widespread and being marketed a lot to youth, especially. So we bring up the things, the real world things people are struggling with, including depression, anxiety, the battle to not commit suicide. We've had people on the show who have had a good friend or a relative commit suicide. We've had people on the show who have come out of the occult and witchcraft. And this stuff is very dangerous, and we live in very dark times. We cannot just pretend everything is business as usual, especially when surveys have been showing that for years, decades now, upwards of 2/3 of Christian men are viewing pornography. So, and then women, the number of women struggling with porn is shooting up. And oftentimes the women get left out of this conversation. My friends, this is not a man's only issue. A lot of women are struggling with pornography and sexual sin and adultery. And I one email from a wife who had read my book, The Road to Grace, explained how that book really helped her. And she had a struggle with pornography, masturbation, and committing an affair. So this is going on in your church and mine, people struggling with this every single day in large numbers. And part of what we do is try to educate people that, hey, this is not something you can do a message on once every 3 years and think, all right, I did my sermon on sex, I'm done, and it's good. No, we're commanded to equip people and make disciples, not just do a hit and run message on sex every once every 3 years. This is, I mean, I could easily call this sex in the church and promiscuity a moral crisis. Pew Research did a survey a while back, and they found that half of professing Christians, evangelicals, saw no problem with casual sex, meaning sex outside of marriage between one man and one woman. But this is what happens when we do not talk openly about the things people are struggling with, especially the sexual realm. We have to set the standards of God's holiness in this area, that sex for one is only for a married couple, and that's it. But also, we got to go way beyond that. We got to reach out to people who are hurting and say, hey, this is the way out. This is the way through. Let us help you. And not only those who are hurting, but also the wife who are, the wives are traumatized by this stuff. This is very painful for them. I have known wives who have ended up in the psych ward because it just tore them apart. It is very destructive to a wife's heart to go through this. And often what happens is the guy doesn't get help until he's well into his marriage, 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years into his marriage. Maybe at that point he gets caught, blows everything up, and then the wife is left there saying, who the heck did I marry? You've been lying to me all these years. And it's not uncommon for a wife to walk in on her husband while he's masturbating to pornography. And it is very shocking and traumatizing for her when that happens, just as it's shocking and humiliating and embarrassing for him when she walks in on him. And remember, always go back to the Bible. And what did Paul do? What did Jesus say? 1 Corinthians 5, first couple of verses, Paul ripped the church of Corinth over the sexual sin of just one man. What do you think Paul would do today if he came here and saw mass numbers in the church of men and women struggling with pornography, and we avoid or don't help people with these issues? After he was done tearing his robe and flipping out, I think he'd be like, what are you doing? We got to open this up. And then Revelation 2 and 3, Jesus ripped the church, two of the seven churches, for not dealing with the sexual sin right there in their midst, Thyatira and Pergamum. We cannot run from this anymore, especially not during these dark days when sexual sin is on rampage throughout the church and everywhere. I mean, the outside culture is trying to ram it down our throats. We should not be afraid to talk about that which God created and which is all over the Bible. So, spiritual warfare, we need your prayers, because you've probably heard more about these issues in the last several minutes I've been talking than you have in most of your Sunday services, which is not good, which is why we do what we do. And we, like I said, we go through a lot of spiritual warfare. This morning I was having a hard time breathing for a while. So sometimes the enemy attacks the body, the mind, as well as the emotions. And he'll use long COVID against me from time to time. But prayer is key. Prayer is critical. It's critical. I'm dead without a strong prayer life. And you know what? So are you. if you're a Bible-believing, God-loving Christian, you're a dead man walking without a strong prayer life, especially during the day today when there's so much chaos and evil and darkness everywhere. Prayer is critical. So what I want to do now is read you some emails from people who have come to us asking for help. And this will give you a picture of what the real church looks like under the hood every Sunday with people struggling with these things. So first, I found out a little more than a week ago that my husband, whom I knew was using porn, has been going to massage parlors. So this is from a wife. I would like prayer and someone to talk to who gets it. My church is supporting me, but this happened right after we found out our pastor was having an affair with an elder's wife. The whole situation where I am is a mess. And oftentimes what we hear, what we see is that the people who are come out or exposed with sexual sin are often the people you would not ever think are doing that stuff. Most people are not going to think of their pastor having an affair or struggling with pornography, but you know what? The enemy has his guns aimed at every single pastor to do whatever he can to take them down. He has his guns aimed at every man, woman, and child to do whatever he can to get them hooked in bondage and take them down. And secrecy is a part of the problem here on both sides, with those who struggle and staying trapped in there, and for those of us on the other side when we say nothing and we don't offer them help. So next, several years ago, another wife writing, I discovered that my husband was looking at women's profiles on Facebook, including someone we even knew and went to church with. I forgave him and asked if there was anything more I should know. He said no. I then found out my husband was addicted to porn. I again forgave him. Several months later, I found out my husband was back on Facebook looking at soft porn videos. He again lied about everything to my face until he eventually caved and told me the truth. My husband and I have no friends. I feel lost, alone, and helpless. The lying is often more painful to a wife than what her husband had been doing. I hear this from wives all the time, that the lying cuts them deeper. So my friends, trust is the basis of every relationship. If there is no trust, there is no relationship. And what a wife is saying when the line cuts them and hurts them is that, I don't know if I can trust you because you've been spending all these years lying to me. So at the very beginning of the recovery process, what has to happen is that all lying has to stop. There has to be an upfront disclosure of the sexual sin of the past. Not in great detail, but enough description to give an idea of what's happened. Because without the truth, forget it. And I know there are some counselors who counsel the men not to tell their wives that they're struggling until they have 6 months of abstinence. But what happens is a lot of the time, it'll take them several years to get 6 months. So what you're really telling the guy to do is to keep lying and hiding for another 6 months to 2-3 years until he gets abstinence. But the lying is a part of the problem. So this is very damaging to tell a husband to keep lying. No, we don't want to do that. The truth has to come out for healing to begin. Next email. I have struggled with pornography since my teens and want full and lasting deliverance. I'm married and I'm 58 years old. We have people who come to us for help in their 50s, 60s, 70s, and 80. And sometimes they've been in bondage all their life and even never told anyone. And the first time they're telling anyone is when they're coming to us. And that is such a tragedy. And we have to ask the big question, why? Why is this? Why wait till they're, why are they waiting till their 60s? Well, first off, there's the spiritual battle and the enemy saying you dare not tell anyone. And then if they go to a church and they don't hear about sex talked about, then I'm a freak. I'm a pervert. I'm not going to be opening up to others. And then there are the tragic situations we hear of and I experienced where they go and try and get help and then they get ostracized or they get, you know, you're a sinner and you need to repent, or they get beat up, or they'll get given a couple of Bible verses and maybe a little bit of prayer, but not really anything other than that. And they're not given hope or the path forward. So there's a lot of reasons, but if you're, no matter where you are, what age you are, please do not play games with this stuff. It will destroy your lives. You do not want to wake up one day, 50, 60, 70, 80, and realize you've wasted so much of your life. Do not waste your life, my friends. Get help now. Don't play games with this stuff. Next email. I have a problem with I have a problem with pornography and I need help to stop. The local church is not equipped to help me with this, which is a tragedy because we have the living God at our back. He is with us. He sets captives free. And we hear this quite a bit, that my church was no help at all, or they made it worse. And we got to turn this around. We got to stop running from this stuff. Lives are being destroyed because we're not helping people. But, you know, the other part is that I've talked to pastors who've been through seminary, and they've told me that they got little more than training other than how to teach and understand the scriptures. But when I've asked them, so did you learn how to have an effective prayer life? They give me a blank look. Or have you been trained and helped on how to help people with these issues like we're talking about? And I'll get another blank look. No. So you can't just sit there and, you know, point the finger at a pastor when the guy has not been trained or helped or equipped in this area. This is a we. We're all on the same team. We're all on the same page here. And I do pastors training conferences just as I do our From Porn to Grace conference. We offer this help to you, to leadership. So again, don't sit back and lay in the weeds. Next, I started porn when I was 13 years old with photos I found in an abandoned house. I grew to buying magazines in college. I rented out R-rated movies that had sex scenes in them. Then X-rated videos from an adult bookstore. That opened up the floodgates. Masturbation has always been present, even during my marriage. And with some men, getting over the masturbation is a tougher struggle than letting the porn go. Then the internet came along and I watched porn on my computer. My wife doesn't know that I have been looking at porn for the last 20 years. That should break our hearts. I had developed erectile dysfunction and have no desire for sex. So unfortunately, what happens with this problem with pornography is it reverses the sex drive. And in many cases, they end up wanting porn more than they want their wife. And I've had couples in my office, and the wife is frustrated because she wants to have sex with their husband. And the husband has kind of a blank look, like, how do I get out of this hole and how I reverse my drives here? And that's where this stuff will take you. It will destroy your desires for good and true sex. And married couples, you should be lighting the sheets up in your room. I mean, like, on fire, often, enjoying it, every moment of it, going at it, often. We don't hear enough of this, but sometimes what happens is we hear too much of what we shouldn't do and enough not enough what we should. And married couples, sex is a gift to you from God. Have at it, and have at it often. It is also a bonding force that bonds you physically, emotionally, and spiritually to each other. It's not just a physical act. There is so much more involved in that. And then when a guy gets hooked on porn, or when he's doing pornography, what happens? There's like this emotional misfire because there's no connection with another person. So what happens is he misfires and he connects with himself. Self becomes God. Pride becomes blown up. Life becomes all about me. Me, 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 what I want, when I want it. I want an orgasm when I want it. And if my wife doesn't want sex when I want it, well, I'm going to take matters in my own hands and I'm going to masturbate to it. And what happens after masturbation? There's an immediate drop off and then there's a crash because there's no connection there. Sex does not work when it's solo. It does not work. And I know I tried for many years to make it work. It doesn't work. There's no connection. So if you read the Bible, every positive context for sex is in marriage and in marriage alone. And if you read 1 Corinthians 7, Paul is trying to encourage people to be single. And I don't remember the exact verse right now, but it is in 1 Corinthians 7 where he says, basically, if you're single and you're burning, it is better to marry than to burn. He did not give sex with yourself as an out. Sex with self, masturbation is not given an out anywhere in Scripture for a release. And part of our misunderstanding is that we as believers are called to master our urges. We're called to have strong character, be men and women of strong character and integrity and strength. It's not easy, especially when those hormones are firing or, you know, you really got yourself worked up like, I really need this now. But you know what? Nobody ever died from not having sex. And those urges always, always, they fade away after a few moments, after maybe a few minutes. But sometimes what we do is we wrap ourselves around it and tell ourselves, I got to have this right now. And if I don't have this right now, I'm going to blow up. No, you're not going to blow up. And if you just wait a few minutes, maybe pray, get outside of the house, worship, contact a good friend, ask for prayer, listen to some worship music, it will pass. But it's not just about the urges. It's also about an enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And if you're married, he wants to come and steal, kill, and destroy your marriage. And sex is a huge part of marriage. And one reason we do need sex as a couple is to keep our bonds strong. After my wife and I do that, we just feel tight together. I mean, I don't mean just physically. I mean heart to heart. And that's the way it's meant to be, my friends. And we should not, again, I'm going to say it again, do not duck this stuff in church. Open it up. Next email, my son is 14 and struggles terribly with pornography. We don't know what to do. 14-year-old, and I will tell you that what we see is a lot of men who get hooked at the age of 8 and even younger. So moms and dads, if your kid is 8 years old and you haven't had the sex talk with them, it is too late because your sweet little Jimmy is going to school with Butch and Butch knows his way around the internet and his phone. He's been looking at the wrong photos and guess who's he's going to educate on the wrong stuff. I don't like having the sex talk this early, but we got to in this culture we're in because if you don't, I guarantee you the wrong person will. Next up, I live in the UK. I found out that my husband was watching porn last year when I was pregnant. He told me he didn't know why he started it. And several months later, I discovered photos of naked women in his phone. That's when he admitted he was going to porn sites. I forgave him and thought he was a changed man until I discovered that he is still watching porn. And then last email, I'm a female Christian. I love the Lord. Serve him in the mission field in different countries. As pastor, I've had a problem with masturbation. I don't have anyone to talk to and can't stop. I want to need to stop. Please let me know if you can help. We offer you help. Contact us. Don't sit there lying in the weeds alone in isolation. And my friends, we got to open this stuff up. So thank you for joining me, and we'll see you next time.
Do you want to be free?
Blazing Grace is a nonprofit international ministry for the sexually broken and the spouse. Please visit us at blazinggrace.org for information on Mike Janung's books, groups, counseling, or to have Mike speak at your organization. You can email us at email@blazinggrace.org or call our office at 719-888-5144. Again, visit us at blazinggrace.org. Email us at email@blazinggrace.org or call the office at 719-888-5144.